Hey, welcome everyone to Acorn Canada Radio, where radio meets justice. Today we are focused on housing on the West Coast. The housing crisis has hit epic proportions in Burnaby, BC, a suburb of Vancouver. And moving into the elections next week, dem evictions are a burning hot issue. And today we have Acorn leader Murray Martin to talk to us a bit about it. Hey, Murray, thanks for joining me.
Hey, John, thanks for having me.
Sweet, sweet. So tell our audience, they probably don't know, what are dem evictions?
Dem evictions are when what we're calling dem evictions are when the city rezones like a walk-up apartment building, usually two or three stories, and rezones it to a high-rise, usually million-dollar condos or, you know, luxury rentals.
And right.
People are displaced with nowhere to go.
And this is happening in Burnaby, that like around the Metrotown area where you're an Acorn leader. How many units are gone? Like what is happening? Tell us a bit about the history of it.
Yeah, so in the first, it started in 2011 in Burnaby, and it was kind of a trickle. And in the first 6 years, so until last summer, July 2017, there had been just, you know, over about, it was 706, I believe, units, rental units destroyed. And these are all probably the most affordable market rental units in the entire Lower Mainland. They're going from like $750 to $1,000 for, you know, bachelor to two bedroom apartments.
So you're saying that these market rental, three story walk up buildings, and then in Metrotown, it's the whole neighborhood. Like, how big is the Metrotown rental community? Like, how big is it?
The area of the Metrotown, what the city considers Metrotown, is probably, you know, I can only compare this to Vancouver, so people not familiar with Vancouver, this might not be make much sense, but it's about half the size of the downtown core of Vancouver. So it's a pretty massive area.
Yeah, we're talking a few square kilometers, or, you know, for the Americans, like a couple square miles of area where it's building after building after building after building, right?
Yeah, it would take, you know, if you just go, it's kind of a square, and if you were to walk from one side to the other, it's about, you know, like a 30, 35-minute walk. So
that's just a huge community. Yeah. Thousands of people living there with affordable rent control. As good as we've been fighting for better rent control laws in BC, but for, you know, good rent controlled apartment buildings, nothing fancy, but to where working class people can live.
Yeah.
And they're just, and you're saying they're rezoning them and they're tearing them down. Can you explain? Like, I saw a video yesterday that you posted where they're tearing down a building. Like, can you explain that a bit for the audience, what that looks like and who is living in the building?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to continue with the history, and then I'll get to that. So like last year, in July 2017, the city passed what they call the Metrotown Downtown Plan. And this was like the city is like, Burnaby is creating, you know, their own downtown in this area, Metrotown. And so since they've passed that plan, the plan actually allows the wholesale, anyone in that zone can apply to sky's the limit high rises and demolish the building. So that put 3,000 units of rental housing under threat, which is a quarter of Burnaby's purpose built rentals. So 25% of Burnaby, and Burnaby's got a population of, you know, 240,000. So since that plan has passed, we've had a 700% increase in dem eviction applications. So there's almost 900 units that are in the process now since that passed last year. And it's massively escalating. So the video that I posted the other day was just, you know, the latest building with, I think it was 64 units that was knocked down and people were evicted July 1st. The Acorn office, we got an email from someone who is homeless as a result of that, even though the city and the developers had promised everyone would be rehoused. We got an email from a gentleman who was staying in a $500 a week hotel because that's our motel out in Delta, one of the suburbs, because that's all he could find, and his money is going to run out pretty, you know, it's, I don't know where this guy is or anything, because we haven't been able to maintain contact with him. So, you know, that's just one example of the 64 units. And there's going to be what the city calls non-market rentals that they use this to sell the project. And, some of the local, NDP MLAs put in a submission in favor of this because they were told that no one would be displaced, and you know, this is not the case. And so they were supposed to be building 128 non-market rental units, and then a bunch of million-dollar condos. But the non-market rental might sound good, but they're all going to be more expensive than the units that were torn down. So it's and the people who are displaced is, you know, we don't have any evidence that any of them have been moved into secure housing. So,
and even the gap of the building going down, them being evicted, and then the building coming in, it's got to be, you know, 2-3
years
between those. And where are people going between those? Even if they were sincere on there, getting them rents at a, you know, an affordable rate in the new buildings.
Yeah, they were supposed to be given with this place called the New Vista Society, like priority for housing, but we haven't seen any evidence of this happening. So as far as we know, it was just an empty gesture just to get the project rammed through. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the politics, I know we've been, Acorn's been active in this campaign, pushing against the mayor, or now we're trying to make him the infamous mayor, Mayor Corrigan in Burnaby. Can you, and he's like, you know, when we first started organizing in Burnaby, always would assume people said, oh, he's an NDPer, you know, he's a working, you know, he's a labor supporting kind of guy. He's our kind of mayor, right?
Yeah.
But then, so when this starts coming, I think a lot of people were really shocked about it. Can you give a bit of the history there? And for the listeners, we're talking to Murray Martin, the Acorn leader from Burnaby, BC. This is Acorn Canada Radio, where radio meets justice. Go on.
So the political situation is really, it's really bizarre. And, you know, so Burnaby, just another bit of background, Burnaby is the third most expensive city in Canada to rent in. So, and it's a result of these policies. So the mayor, he's Derek Corrigan, and political party that runs the city of Burnaby, and they've held every elected seat for the last three elections, is the Burnaby Citizens Association, which you have to be an NDP member to join. And they've been endorsed by labor councils, you know, I think since the 90s, and the NDP call it their farm league team, and you know, for developing future politicians. And you know, there didn't seem to be that, you know, they were not, it hasn't been too bad of a city until this background housing crisis really started. And then this is when, in the middle of this, Derek Corrigan thought he could get some money from the city and would start all this massive developing. We're calling it the largest mass displacement of renters in Canada. And, you know, because it'll be, at the end of this, it'll be 6,000 or 8,000 so people, and it's, you know, a low of moderate income that people, you know, so it's kind of a they're backed by the NDP. I'm a member of the NDP, and I'm probably one of the few people speaking out against this, because a lot of people who support Corrigan in his 16 years as mayor just, you know, didn't really understand what was going on, I think, and the scale, and
right.
Their eyes have really been open, especially in the last year with the huge upsurge of displacement. And, yeah, so we're working hard to make him the ex-mayor. In the last year since the Metrotown plan passed, we knew the municipal elections were coming up. October 20th, they're coming up all over BC for all the cities to elect new city councils. And they have dominated. The BCA has controlled the council since 1986. So it's just like, it's this really long reign of NDP rule that just towards, in the last 4 years, has kind of, you know, turned to do stuff that even the, you know, most right-wing governments wouldn't even consider doing. So it's really a bizarre situation.
very out of touch. And we always say that, you know, there's reasons for Acorn, like even the Indy, the reason for Acorn to exist in some ways are that we can force low and moderate income issues even to allies in America. Yeah. You know, the Democrats certainly need reminders of what working class people are going through. But even here in Canada, where we have a third party, you know, you have a workers' party. But they're not low. Derek Corrigan is not a low and moderate income person. He probably just seems so out of touch on these housing issues. I heard a quote where early on in this, like maybe in 2011, you correct me, you'd know more, where he kind of denies that homelessness was even an issue in Burnaby. He's just so out of touch.
Yeah, and he's still – so Burnaby's one of the few cities in the Lower Mainland. You know, like this background housing crisis isn't Derek Corrigan's fault. You know, the origins of it are the federal and provincial government and lack of funding. And when homelessness started to really start in Burnaby in the early 2000s when the BC Liberals were elected, you know, we've never seen homeless people in Burnaby, you know, very rarely. And then all of a sudden they just, you know, there's thousands. And so he, you know, I haven't heard him denying that there's a homeless problem, but he refused to even consider building a homeless shelter or any, you know, any facilities, no money for facilities for homeless people in the city. And he was quoted in 2013 as saying, I think the actual, I'm going to have to paraphrase here, but the quote, when he was asked why he wouldn't build shelters, he said, well, frankly, these people, meaning homeless people, are the kind of people who would steal your gold teeth if they found you passed out on the sidewalk. And that really
that's the quote I was thinking.
Yeah, and that really exposed his underlying contempt for you know, people of moderate means and people whose luck has been down, as you know, as if they're to blame for this problem. And his refusal, it really explains to me his refusal to you know, his idea of curing poverty in Burnaby is to throw all the people of low income out and homeless people out and get out of town.
He came out with a thing recently that I saw you on social media coming out against about crime in a park, and then kind of coming out on kind of a right wing reactionary thing about more policing and cameras in the park. Can you tell the listeners a bit more about that?
Yeah, so last year in Central Park, which is an area in Metrotown, a pretty big park, there was a murder of a young, a 13-year-old Chinese girl. And so this is a year and a half ago. And one of the problems in catching the person responsible for this is there was a lot of it was suspected to have happened right in Central Park. So the lack of security cameras was cited by police as and the lack of police officers was cited as, you know, a problem to getting anywhere in this investigation.
Right.
And so with, you know, I believe within a few months they had installed a couple cameras, you know, just to the entrances of the park so they could have on record people going in and out. So this is, you know, they've installed these for quite some time. And so Derek Corrigan waited, you know, like he's fighting the political fight of his life right now, because we've created an environment so that people can challenge him on these issues by bringing a lot of publicity to it. And so they're really desperate. And at their campaign office, in the middle of the campaign, one of the first things they did, because they don't want to talk about housing, because that's their weak issue. So they had a press conference to announce that they put cameras up in the park, which is, you know, like, this is a routine thing that the cities do everywhere, and they never have press conferences. And so one of the reporters just said, well, you know, why are you announcing this now? And, you know, in the middle of a campaign from your political partisan office, you know, with the implication that this is kind of slimy, that you're taking advantage of the murder of a young girl for political gain. And Corrigan openly admitted it. And he, on the reporter's Twitter feed, Corrigan was reported to have said that, yes, I'm promoting my party. That's what I'm doing. I want to give voters a clear choice.
And, yeah, a lot of people in Burnaby really thought that was, you know, as low as you can go as a politician.
Right.
There's a lot of other issues you could change the subject from housing away on, but this was kind of like a little over the top. Yeah.
And so he's kind of running scared of the campaign. Can you go over like what, like the campaign overall, like what we've done, what, like, what your group's done to make dem evictions? Because I'm not even sure people, like, I'm not sure I knew what I'd heard of a dem eviction. I'm not sure where the word came from. But dem, yeah, like, how you really have made this a household word that everyone in Burnaby and Metro Vancouver knows what this is and fears,
yeah,
it, and really been associated with Corrigan and made this guy, you know.
Yeah.
The guy who's won election after election after election has a, like, a kingdom in Burnaby. Now he's at risk of losing this election coming up. He's neck and neck with the Green Party candidate. What's our campaign look like? What's Acorn's campaign look like over there?
Yes. So the dem eviction, so the word dem eviction just is a combination of demolishment and eviction, right? And it was, we coined this term because this really started on a big scale in Burnaby, so we needed a word to use to distinguish this from, you know, other things like rent evictions and, you know, and other issues. So we coined the word. In 2016, some squatters occupied one of the buildings that were being torn down, and that really drew a lot of attention, national
right.
attention to the issue. And then after the Metrotown plan passed, we, you know, at Acorn, we knew that, the election was coming up and, there had been no political challengers, serious political contenders in Burnaby for decades. And, because part of the problem is they get a lot of money from developers, and usually that's the right wing parties that get the developer money. And so other parties would spring up on the right side of the spectrum, and they go to the developers, and the developers would say, well, why would we give you money? We've already got a council bond
right.
paid for, basically. So, so our focus was on creating the environment so other politicians on the left, who are more interested in people than businesses, you know, could challenge Corrigan in Burnaby. And so we just focused on every time one of these public hearings came up, we would get submissions. So and submissions are basically when you go to city council and you make a statement saying you're against this rezoning because people are going to be displaced, or you send in electronic. We set up the website for Acorn that could send in automatic electronic submissions saying you're against these rezonings. And that was So the first one we did this year was in February, and we had 146, I believe, submissions.
Wow.
And all but one were against the rezoning. And you know, so to put this in perspective, like social housing, you know, projects or, you know, development projects in Vancouver get shut down and they get front page news when, the, you know, 100 people show up at City Hall, right? So that was our first
Huge.
One. That was in
yeah.
the test run. And then another one came up at May 29th, and we had 469 submissions with only one
wow.
in favor. And, you know, so we were kind of working on this escalating public attention, and we got some of the traditional supporters of the party to back our moratorium. So, like, the British Columbia Government Employees Union, which is the largest union in B.C., membership-wise, they were first to sign on to the moratorium and were really helpful in getting the word out that, you know, Corrigan's not, you know, working in the interest of workers. He's working for developers. So, and then we had some other unions sign on, the Burnaby, or QP Local 23, which is the Burnaby workers. They signed on, and they've been a stalwart of they've been the backbone of support for this party and Corrigan,
yeah.
You know, for decades. And to have them sign on was
Huge.
Probably the most significant thing that they signed on, calling for a moratorium. Because some of their members, they got around 2,300 members, and I think workers that work for Burnaby, and half of them are precarious workers, and a lot of them rent, and some of them rent in this area and are being displaced. So
they're working people. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had, you know, the Vancouver's Tenants Union sign on, a group called Force of Nature, which is an environmental group. And, and so there was, some public hearings in June and July that we had gathered around a total of 2,000 submissions for, because it, you know, was escalating the amount of, pushback that we were creating by all the media generated and all the, door knocking and petitioning we were doing out in the community. And it got, so they had to cancel these public hearings because they started to realize that for the first time in, 4 decades that they faced, you know, what someone calls like being evicted from office, which I thought was a get them evicted. Yeah, exactly. So they canceled these public hearings, for like probably so it delayed the, about 500 people from their these projects until after the election, because they've never had any indication that, they even are concerned about people being displaced. It was just more a political, fear that is why they did this at this time. So
they haven't, and I was confused on that too, that they didn't do a moratorium. We've been calling for, hey, stop this moratorium. Can't be.
But they're just delaying
it till after the election.
Yeah. So, you know, they would never say that, but you have to read between the lines with politics. And because the election was coming up and they were getting a lot of bad press, what their cover story was is they just found this new legislation that allows them to force developers to build rental units instead of million-dollar condos, but it still doesn't address the issue. It's kind of like a bait and switch story, because the issue has never been about whether they're building luxury condos or luxury rentals. The issue is people are being displaced to build these units.
And, right.
Yeah. So our demands are basically, if anyone, you know, we're not anti-development, but if anyone does get displaced, our demand is that they have to be housed in a equal or less cost equivalent size apartments with the similar access to the SkyTrain or the, you know, the
it's public kind of transit.
Yeah, transit. It's the rapid transit. Yeah.
And that, no, and these are, that's great. And it sounds like you've really scared them. The elections, well, clearly we have, and you have the elections on the 20th, so the elections next Saturday, a week today. You guys had a meeting last night and have a report coming out that should be hitting the press on Monday. For the listeners, we're talking to Murray Martin, a leader from Burnaby, Acorn from British Columbia, Acorn, talking about the dem eviction housing crisis in his city. Yeah, tell a bit about the meeting last night, how that went. I'd love to hear about it, and what we think about the report coming out.
Yeah, so we had a meeting, you know, like one of the problems is the we called the meeting like dem evictions, who's to blame and what to do about it. And I guess, you know, because it was really close to the election, it was kind of focusing in. There's a lot of confusion with people on the three levels of government, federal, provincial and city, that, who's responsible for what part of the housing crisis. So,
right.
And dem evictions, rezoning dem evictions are the scope of the city. And the city has always been claiming these aren't its fault. It's the province of the federal government and the province. And a lot of people who don't, you know, most, the average person doesn't really know these are rezoning thing, powers are with the city. So, you know, that's one of our educational things in the community. We've been the presentation we gave was just talking about that this is 100% the city, and we compare them to other cities who have no dem evictions, rezoning dem evictions. And then some of the politicians who showed up, talked about their stances, calling for a moratorium that, you know, wouldn't have been possible without our pushback. And we have this report that was, so what we found with these public hearings canceled in the summer. So we we had thought that 500 or so people were safe from being displaced, but we found that the developers are so confident that these are going to pass that they're pushing people out of their buildings before they even go through the process, and they're emptying hundreds of units in Metrotown, and in the middle of the worst housing crisis the city has seen in its history. And we have a 0.5% vacancy rate, which is like twice as Vancouver's got around one, just a little under 1%. So
basically zero, right? Like, you know,
yeah, it's effectively zero. Like, yeah. If you're looking for an apartment, you're going to have to, like, anyone displaced here, they probably average, they're facing a 50% increase in their rent, you know, from like 800 to 1200 or 800 to 1400, that kind of thing. Yeah.
And that's going to be really unaffordable. And the report talks about these companies that are actually, it's like a business where they're contracted by the developers to do tenant relocation services, which really is them just going door to door, manipulating people out of their rent controlled units.
Yeah, yeah. So what the developers have got together, and they're working, they all, you know, as a, you know, as a developer coalition or union or whatever you want to call it. And they've hired, this is just what we know is probably just scratching the surface, but they've hired a tenant relocation company that they start out by, you know, just telling people, you know, even in buildings where, they haven't even started the application process, they start a whisper campaign and just, you know, in a friendly way, they say, oh, you know, the building's been sold and, you know, just a heads up. You're going to be, you know, we're going to be tearing the building down soon, stuff like this. So you better start looking. And the whole, purpose is to empty these buildings out, and we're guessing so that they don't have to pay compensation, you know, especially if people leave before they get their official eviction notice, the developers don't have to pay the 3 months, rent compensation that people are entitled to. So, you know, I've ran into lots of people who move out because they thought they didn't understand that they were entitled to compensation. And so that's the first stage. And then it kind of gets, you know, and then they get more aggressive. They hold tenant meetings, which are kind of, you know, like when you think of a tenant meeting, you think of other tenants talking. You know, it's kind of like the employer holding a union meeting, right?
The employer who's ready to close the factory saying, hey, we're at a worker meeting.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do when you're laid off?
Yeah, exactly. And so, and if you leave early, you don't get severance pay, that kind of thing. And then when people start to leave, then they step it up a bit and they start to, they stop maintaining the building. So last night there was people talking about, you know, there's dead rats in the hallways. Almost everyone I talk to in one of these buildings is like their mailboxes have been broken into and stuff. So as there's less people in these buildings, they're more, you know, susceptible to, you know, things like people breaking in, and it creates a sense of fear. And especially with seniors, you know, who are, you know, they might not have any neighbors on their hall where they used to have, you know, like 10 apartments, and now they're the last one. It's like, it's, you know, they're afraid. And the last stage is they start to say, well, if you don't, you know, we'll offer you some money, and if you don't, if you wait until you get your eviction notice, you're not going to get any money, which is like a lie. It's not true.
And the money they're offering is the same amount they legally have to give when they're evicted. Anyways,
yeah.
And then they're
yeah.
clearing out the buildings. We were saying, and the report says that it's like 50% of these buildings now, like some of these buildings where they are, like, that are going to be supposedly having the hearings soon, are people have already moved out. And it obviously is in the developer's interest to clear away tenants, because that also clears away opposition. People aren't going to be going to the hearings as much if they already, you know, have moved
yeah.
to Delta or, you know, Hope, B.C. or Chilliwack or wherever.
Yeah.
We have
yeah,
sadly
and,
oh,
yeah.
we one last point, because we're running out of time, Murray.
Yeah.
Do you have another thought?
Yeah, and they're also afraid of the possibility of another occupation, too. So they're
right.
They're, you know, so they want people out because they're afraid it'll be really bad publicity if, you know, someone just decides, I'm going to stay here, damn the eviction notice, I have nowhere to go, I'll be homeless, so I got nothing to lose, I'm just going to stay. So, you know, they're afraid of that too.
I wonder if any of your tenants who came to the meeting last night would be interested in doing, you know, occupations or squattings, whether it's symbolically or real, holding on to the streets. So these are all fights that are coming. The election's next Saturday. Looks like Mayor Corrigan's in some big trouble. And Acorn's got some, Acorn and our allies have some wind in their back. We've been listening to Acorn Canada Radio, where radio meets justice, and talking to Murray Martin, the leader from Burnaby Acorn. Thanks so much, Burnaby. Thanks so much, Murray, for talking.
Yeah, no problem.
And we'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low- and moderate-income Americans.